Welcome to Dragon Gray's Variety Show. This episode, we do a combination of a little music, a little reading, and a little commentary. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode. That was Winter Chicago. If you've ever been to Chicago in the winter, you realize how tough it can be. And the strings and the brass kind of demonstrates that. Next up is we're going to do a reading of one of the books written by Lynn I. Kelly called Darklands Requiem. You can find that on Amazon.com. And it's a very good book. So enjoy a little chapter of reading of that. The Road That Led Them There. I don't understand, Webb Sundown said inconsolably, her arms wrapped tightly around her left leg, which she had nestled under her chin. I don't, she repeated, vainly fighting back tears. What's there to understand? It was more a statement than a question. Webb glanced quickly over to his little sister before returning his eyes to the road ahead as it rushed under the wheels of his Camaro. Make sure your seatbelt is on, he said abruptly. With a deliberate sigh, Sundown snapped her shoulder strap out and back. It's on, Webb. It's been on since we left the house. Sorry, Webb replied. The testiness in her sister's response was loud and clear. I thought Mom and Dad were happy, Sundown continued, ignoring her older brother's apology. They are happy, Sundown, just not together, he wanted to add but stopped. That would do nothing but add salt to her already open wound. Today had been the day Webb knew was coming. He had seen it creeping over the horizon for the past few months. His sister, though, had been blissfully unaware. She had not heard the late-night muffled arguments or the hushed conversations, nor had she noticed the abject distance between her parents, both physically and emotionally. Or maybe she had, but had opted to ignore it. Their parents had called them to the living room for a talk. It seemed innocent enough, but Webb had known, just known, what was coming. He was old enough to appreciate that these types of talks were rarely harmless. They almost always had an ominous undertone to them. He wondered if other kids in similar circumstances shared the same sense of foretelling. Their mom had been seated in the overstuffed chair that always seemed so out of place in the living room, their dad standing uncomfortably behind her. Webb had found that hypocritical. They're presenting a united front for what was inevitably an announcement about their getting a divorce. And he wondered if his parents appreciated the preposterousness in their presentation. He could tell his mom had been crying, her eyes red-rimmed despite her best attempts at looking calm. His father just looked stern. His salt-and-pepper hair only accentuated the seriousness of his face. Webb and Shoda and Sundown had been directed to the couch across from the mammoth chair, and that was when the inescapable conversation began. Or at least, that was where it should have begun, Webb reasoned, were it not for their mom's impromptu phraseology. She had begun by telling them both how much she and her father loved them, followed by a soliloquy of starts and stops that almost saw her disintegrate into tears before their father finally took over and bluntly announced that they were separating. He did not say divorce, but it obvious he was just being amenable. The room had gone silent after that, excepting a few sniffles from Sundown. Webb was unexpectedly shocked now that his suspicions had been proven a reality, but Sundown was just heartbroken. He had put his arm around his little sister, feeling her melt against him as he did so, but they did nothing else, neither asking any questions, despite both parents grasping and trying to pry something, anything out of their stunned children. After a few more ticks of silence, Sundown had bolted for her room with her mother giving chase. Webb had just nodded to in his father's general direction before heading back to his room, putting some distance between himself and the announcement. The first thing he had seen as he walked into his room was a picture of himself and his family in Corpus Christi, a coastal town in Texas, just around 9 hours south from where they lived in McGregor Falls. He and Sundown were in the forefront of the photograph with their parents behind them, lovingly embracing them both, the waves caught breaking in the background. It was a black and white photograph from until today. Now it was a mockery, and he loathed it. Funny, he recalled, thinking how perspective changed the simplest things. Even the crashing waves in the background now had an ominous about them. Webb had hastily raised his head to smash the picture across the room, but stopped at the last second. It had hurt to stop. The anger churning inside him had been denied an outlet. But there had been enough destruction on this day. Instead, he had grabbed the keys to his 1980 Chevrolet Camaro. He wanted to get far away from this house and pretense. He was halfway through the door before he ground to a stop. Turning, he had moved across the house to his sister's room, where he had found his mom trying to speak to her through the closed door, tears and sobs hindering what could not be much of a conversation. He had given the door a quick tap, calling to Sundown and mentioning something about ice cream. A few moments later, the door had opened and Sundown quickly walked out for Webb's car, not even acknowledging her mother's humbled figure. "I will talk with her," Webb had assured his mom before following after Sundown. A turn of the ignition later and he and Sundown were en route to Maggie Moo's, in an eccentric little ice cream shop right in the town square with customized flavors such as caramel peanut butter swirl and chocolate butter blast. Webb had needed the drive. Sundown, he knew, just needed the time. "How can they be happy, Webb?" Sundown asked, pulling Webb from his somber recollections. "They're getting a divorce. They're happy with us, Sundown. That's what I meant. You're just having issues with each other, but it has nothing to do with us," Webb replied. "What are you, a counselor?" Sundown said chidingly. "We're not the only kids in the world who've had to go through divorce. Unfortunately, a lot of parents do this." "But they are our parents," Sundown countered. "This is about them, Sundown, not about us," he replied, trying to come up with something to change his little sister's perspective. He understood that she was 14 and that world revolved around her, and any change to her surroundings interrupted that revolution. And this was a monstrous change, but as much as it hurt her and him too, by the way, it surely hurt their parents even more. "But it is about us," Sundown replied quickly, her eyes staring ahead. Her unreadable expression was almost vacant. Webb opened his mouth to reply, but it closed it just as quickly. Instead, he turned on his stereo, sourcing it to his CD player. In a few seconds, the song he wanted started. "This is one of you, your old songs you like so much," Sundown grumbled. "First, it is not that old. 1977, to be specific. Ancient," Sundown interrupted. "Second, listen to the lyrics and you might appreciate what they're trying to say," countered Webb. "I don't even know the name of the song," Sundown replied distantly. "Carry On, Wayward Son. It's by Kansas," answered Webb. "And what is this ancient song supposed to tell me?" she asked, still looking stoically forward. "That you will get through troubled times, no matter how bad, and once past them, there will be new problems awaiting me," Sundown said suddenly. Webb switched the song off with a defiant turn of the knob. The rumble of the Camaro's V8 engine again, now the only sound humming through the car. He would start over once they had got to Maggie Moo's, when she was taking solace in her ice cream, and he had a little bit more time to reconfigure his speech. "We'll get through this, Sundown," he said almost as an afterthought. That was chapter one, How It Got There, from Dark Lands, The Forgotten, written by Lynn I. Kelly. Again, you can check that out on Amazon.com. And it's actually a series, by the way, which is pretty good. So next up, more music. So that was Water Flows, written by myself, Drake and DJ Gray. So the next section, what's up is a little bit of commentary about the status or the condition of life these days, particularly a group of people that one would not necessarily expect to behave in a certain way. It's not political, because I'm neither for or against any particular party or anything like that, but I just think it's quite interesting to make this observation. So being one myself, a baby boomer, the last several years in particular, it seems that a lot has come about, a lot of change politically, a lot of adjustments, belief systems, etc., have come about. One of the things that's quite unusual to me is that, particularly the baby boomers, who generally you think about it, have been on the planet for a number of years. They've been blessed. I mean, I include myself in that. to actually have had the opportunity, not everybody has, but the opportunity to have life experience, to see things happen, you know, over and over again or repeat themselves. And what this commentary is about is just the observation that baby boomers, for the most part, not all, of course, but many seem to have forgotten the ability to look back at their life and history and think about things before they just decide to go ahead and follow. Prime example is, like, you know, this, politics are what they are, but many baby boomers today are listening to far out thoughts and beliefs and things that people say, and it's as if you're not able to look at history anymore, or you're not able to think, because, you know, some of the things that are said is really far-fetched. And I understand that change can be very daunting change. You know, who wants to deal with change? But at the same time, do you just follow someone just because they said something without even questioning or researching it, or just wondering about it before you actually say, okay, I'll follow this, and then repeat and push the same far-out ideas? Again, it doesn't matter which side that, you know, whether it's a political party or whatever, but it's just kind of quite surprising to me that there's this group of people that have been on the planet for a long time and yet just are able to follow really wild thoughts and belief systems that people put out there. You have experience. Experience teaches you so much, and yet it seems that too often these days that just that ability to think doesn't happen. I mean, to believe that, you know, there's space people out there, maybe there are, but, you know, or, you know, the color of something is blue when it's actually green and you can see it, you know, it's just an odd sort of observation that we're not, baby boomers as a whole, for the most part, are not thinking things through or checking things or just believing it. I think the other thing that's quite interesting that I'm noticing in terms of observations is how religion is becoming a weapon for politics, which is quite unusual. A lot of my friends that I've talked to that are religious, they take a position, basically taking the whatever their biblical guidance that they use resource, and using that to solidify a political position, which, as this, I read this article on Yahoo recently that talks about how people are doing that. And basically, you actually discredit, if you look at the Bible, if you use that as your source of information, then you actually discredit the validity of the Bible, because you're basically using it to push your own, you know, push a political view, which, that's unfortunate, because, I mean, not being totally religious, but it's just unfortunate that that's being utilized for that, because then it, I mean, for someone that's not religious, when I grew up, you know, you were taught that, okay, this is the Bible, and that you want to encourage people to believe in the Bible. But if the person is using biblical information to push a political view, then why would someone who may be potentially interested in becoming religious do it if what they're being told is really for the political purposes and not for really the purposes of the Bible or whatever their religious beliefs are in the first place? I just think it's quite interesting that during these times right now that these things are happening. And one more point that I didn't initially was going to mention it as an observation, but one more is, if you look at previous civilizations, what brought them down, are we actually going down the same road as some of these other civilizations? You know, the Greek and some other large civilizations, the Romans that have not survived, are we going to repeat that? Because when you look at, you know, our country, and particularly America, the division is so stark that is there a way to bring us together? Because that's clearly, you know, as I said in my song, you know, divided, you know, the book, Good Book, says, you know,
together we stand, divided we fall. So you can't survive when you are divided. So are we in the throes of the downfall of America or other, you know, or other nations? I wrote a book a while back called End of the World, EOTW. You can find it on Amazon. But back then, this was several years ago that I started writing about how, you know, are things coming to a close? I mean, I read a little bit about the Book of Revelation, but when you look at how things are, and this was several years ago, it's much worse than it was then. Are we really looking at not just the end of our civilization, but the world itself? I mean, look at all the issues that are happening today. You know, what's coming next? You know, so anyway, it'd be interesting if you would just take a look at some of the things that I've mentioned, the observations. You know, talk to some of your baby boomer friends, talk to some of your friends about religious, and see if there's, you know, that sort of situation where they're utilizing, you know, their religion to push a particular viewpoint, and just look at the world as a whole. And, you know, what do you think? Is that something that's actually happening, or am I really, really way out on that? So check out next commentary next time I do this mix episode, which will probably be later in the month.
That was a commentary on the status of things today in our world, just to put a view, not politics. We're going to end the show today with Don't Have It, and that's something we don't have, unfortunately, is unity. But check it out. Enjoy it. It's a nice genre. And also check out DragonGraysWorld.com for free music, videos, etc. It's all about the imagination. Y'all stay safe out there, and check us out again.